talking bright spots here, not my hatred for Trevor Plouffe.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past, present, and future.
High fly ball. Motley going back to the track. No outs to go. The Royals have won the 1985 World Series.
Davis comes to the plate. Strike three called. It's over. They've done it. The Royals are World Series champions. The world champion Kansas City Royals.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the Kansas City Baseball Vault, brought to you by Kelly's Westport Inn Baseball Prospectus Affiliate. Folks, first of all, before we get into anything really, I want to say thank you to everyone who came out and celebrated opening day with us at Kelly's on Monday. That was lots of fun times hanging out. I specifically mentioned the hanging out because the game itself was not fun to watch, but we'll be getting into that in a minute here. But thanks to Kelly's for co-hosting the event with us, letting us hang up our banner at peril to our own safety.
Oh yeah.
If you've ever watched two podcasters try and hang a banner after imbibing a large amount of Boulevard Pale Ale, it's quite the sight. So
it's probably some OSHA regulations.
There's some violated. Sort of violation there.
Sure of it, but it's fine.
Regardless, it was done and all were safe. No injuries were had. No podcasters were harmed in the hanging of this this banner. So thanks everyone for coming out. It was good to see everyone and get everyone together. And we'll have some more watch parties throughout the season, as we are wont to do on this show. So keep your eyes and ears open for more information on those as they come along. Until then, drink at Kelly's. Keep listening. Thanks so much for coming out. Now,
and that's all we have to talk about today.
Hey,
goodbye.
If only it were that simple and
yeah,
that easy.
I almost
we're 3 games in. I almost yearn for the days where we're just trying to churn through spring training because, folks, it's been, you know, we've often preached on this show never to read too much into any season until you're about 40 games in, where you really kind of start to see trends develop and can kind of start to use those as predictions going forward. And that nothing changes here. That remains absolutely true. But if you are to talk about a 3-game sliver of a season and talk about that being the first 3 games of the season, and then you were to try and surmise, okay, what would be the worst possible scenario for the Kansas City Royals to start off a season within those first 3 games, you would probably put somewhere close by getting swept by the Twins. You would probably put somewhere close by scoring 4 runs total in the first 3 games. You would probably put somewhere close by walking an obscene amount of Twins. This is the Minnesota Twins, just in case we're confused on
that. Lost 103 games last year.
Twins teams. The Minnesota Twins that lost 103 games last year. Walking an absurd amount of them. You'd put that near the top. And then you would probably end it by saying the absolute worst case scenario would be not only any of those, but all of those happening at the same time. And you would be an expert predictor if that is exactly what you said, because that is essentially what happened here. The Royals are 0-3, swept by the god-awful Minnesota Twins, and they didn't even look competitive. Yeah. Doing it was the first game. You know, we can talk about the lone bright spot here in a minute, which was Danny Duffy's performance, only giving up 1 run over 6 innings and was it 7 strikeouts that he had?
Is 8.
8 strikeouts.
8 strikeouts.
So, 8 strikeouts for Duffy. Good performance for him to open it up.
He one left mistake.
They were tied. Yep, just one mistake.
And it got hit about 450 feet.
Those things happen.
Yeah.
But he left the game. The game was tied 1-1. They lost 7-1. The next game,
Lord.
You know, Kennedy gave an okay performance. Nothing to write home about, but nothing that was, you know, terrible either. But that game ends up 9-1 that they lose. This is still the Twins. We're still talking about the Twins here, mm-hmm. in case anybody was possibly confused as to what was going on.
Right.
Then the third game's also against the Twins, which was today, Thursday, as of recording. They lost 5-3, but they actually had the lead for a short bit of time. So, and they had a lead in the first game. Didn't they? When it was 3-2?
I thought it was 2-0. Then they tied it. Then they gave the lead back, and then they tied it at 3. And then
it's
so they've led like 2 innings this year.
Yeah, sometimes I get because I'm at work. I can't watch the games. Yeah. I can only kind of follow along on the occasional Twitter peek in and then updates I get on my phone. So sometimes I get those confused. But yeah, so they. when Mike Moustakas hit a home run in game one, or the first game in a season opener.
Oh, they led for the remainder of that inning until Miguel Sano hit. That homer by Sano was in the bottom of the fourth. I didn't realize that. So goodness.
Goodness indeed. Lot to unpack here. I guess we can start with I'll just give some general impressions just from my point of view.
Okay.
So early season, it's kind of difficult for me to watch the games most of the time. You know, a lot of times they're during the day because they do them that way because it makes it easier with inclement weather to kind of deal with that. So unfortunately, I haven't really been able to watch the last two games. I was obviously at Kelly's for the opener. So I haven't seen a ton. You know, I've seen highlights and things of that nature. But in terms of the actual game, sitting down and watching, you know, besides the opener, haven't been able to do it. But that said, you know, a lot of the fears that people had have kind of come to fruition. But, you know, you always make the argument in these types of scenarios, okay, the Royals were going to have a 3-game stretch like this at some point in the season. Every team does. You know, mm-hmm. it just happens in baseball. It feels worse because it's the first 3 games of the season and it's against the Twins, you know, and it should feel worse because that's bad.
Right.
But, you know, just in the abstract, the idea of having 3 games like this consecutively that are bad, it's not the worst thing in the world. It doesn't derail a season entirely, you know. I think what bothers me the most about it, and again, no conclusions to be drawn here, just a kind of general impressions, no conclusions about how the season's going to go. But you know, even when the Royals have gotten in bad stretches before in the last couple years, it seemed like it was more around scenarios of, okay, you know, the Royals are ready to play, they're in the game. Some things just didn't go their way. You know, a couple pitches that were just slightly off got hit for home runs, maybe some bloop singles drop in, and then they, you know, some things kind of just escalate on them. And, you know, unfortunately, it just doesn't, you know, certain things work out that way. That's baseball. That's just kind of how it happens. But to me, and again, just I was only able to watch the first game and then, you know, see snippets and everything, but getting the general reaction from people that are watching and Twitter and the reporters and stuff that are there, it just so far in the first 3 games of the season, it doesn't seem like the Royals were prepared and were mentally ready for the start of the season. And that's only a little bit more relevant because you would really expect at the very start of the season that shouldn't be an issue. You know, and again, I'm not trying to say this will be a problem moving forward, you know, not by any means, but if there's, you know, fielders making errors, you know, swinging at bad pitches, struggling bullpen when it's, you know, 40 degree weather in Minnesota, you know, these aren't things that I draw a lot of info from. So, you know, those things you can kind of get past, but again, just didn't feel like this team was as locked as a whole. You know, certain players, it seems like they have been, but to me, my impression so far is that the team isn't as locked in as you would normally expect from seeing the 2014 to 2016 Royals. You know, that was one thing we've talked about on the show a lot, you know, that regardless of the talent level of the Royals, mentally speaking, they were always prepared. They were always ready and they were never, nobody was ever stronger, you know, mentally for however big part of a game however large a part of the game that is. So, you know, again, it's that, you know, it just could just be that the, you know, spring training went on a little bit too long and they kind of got lulled into just some sort of spring training mode, highway hypnosis, if you will. Hmm. And, you know, they got time to put on the gas for regular season, and they, you know, it's a little bit slow, a little sputtering to start up. So it just could be something simple like that. But I don't know. That's maybe my takeaway. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. And again, I'm not trying to say that that's going to be a problem the rest of the year, but the first three games, a little bit disappointing to see them come out so flat for the first three games of the season.
Yeah. The first two games, I mean, they got three hits in the first game. They got four yesterday. They did get nine today, and it kind of looked like maybe some of the hitters were coming around a little bit. But, yeah, it's just tough. I mean, there was a play today, and I got to watch about an hour, maybe 50 minutes of the game today while I was on lunch. And, you know, I saw the play where Mondesi booted the potential double play ball, which would have ended the inning. That would have saved.
That was today? That was like, so that's twice he's done that in three games?
One of them was today, yeah. If there was another one, well, I may have.
It wasn't a double play ball, but remember he booted that ball in the opener. We were watching. I wouldn't say he booted it, but it was kind of, he was sliding to backhand it, and he started.
Oh,
turning,
yeah.
So it was a play that it wasn't easy. But
yeah.
It wasn't
and
difficult.
That one, yeah, that was a tough one. I
don't think that was a double play ball.
Today he got a grounder in the second inning. And it looked like he just kind of pulled up too soon and was looking to make the toss to Escobar covering second and just didn't get it and kind of kicked it to Escobar. And Escobar was able to feel that they got the force, but it extended the inning and the Twins went on to score two runs, took up extra pitches from Jason Hamill. And, you know, that was an early deficit right there. And considering the way that the first two games had gone, that was just like that here it goes again kind of moment. Mm-hmm. So that was bad. And then there was another point where Hamill turned to pick a guy off, and they had him. They had him gone. He was leaning. He was too far. He was late getting back, and he didn't even get his arm extended completely. But Hosmer didn't catch the ball. And so he was able to scramble and get back to the base. So that you know, that doesn't help at all. So, yeah. But the big thing is, like, you know, in all of these games, the Twins never batted in the bottom of the ninth. So the Royals pitched 24 innings. They walked, I count, 23 guys. 23 guys reached on walks. And I have 10 of those scoring. So
Jesus,
that is shooting yourself in the foot completely. You know, it's kind of like you talk about focus or coming out flat or just not ready. You know, the Royals in the seventh inning, you know, yesterday and on Monday, that's where a lot of that damage happened. And this guy's walking. It's guys being behind in the count. It's two hits off Matt Strom, and then you get an intentional walk, then a walk. Then I think Moylan came in, got a strikeout. Then Travis Wood comes in, and he walks in a run. So they walked in, two runs with the bases loaded on Monday, and then they gave up a couple hits. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that is tough to do. You know, you're walking basically a batter per inning. You're walking nearly, you know, put it this way. Let's see, 24 innings, that's 72 outs. So 72 mm-hmm. outs to 23 walks. That's just, wow. That's gross. And so the other thing is, you know, one of the concerns was the bullpen, and was it deep enough? Was it going to be effective? Through three games, people are already going crazy. There was an article on The Ringer about, this is what's going to cause them to miss any chance of the playoffs, and maybe that will turn out to be true. I think in any of these, like you said, to start three games, you can't do that. If this was June 15th, you know, it would suck, but it wouldn't be as big of a deal because you'd already have had 2.5 months of baseball to kind of, I don't know, get yourself ready for these kind of swings. So, I mean, look at 2014. There was, somewhere in July or May or one of those weird months where the Royals were really off, and they went to Houston, or they had Houston come to Kansas City. I don't remember. And they got swept. And this is before Houston was any good.
Mm-hmm.
And they just got dominated. They
we went
like,
nuts.
Yeah, it was like show. That was it. It felt like it was done. And the Royals turned it around, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not to say that it always works out that, hey, the team's going to, you know, turn it around and go on a crazy 16 of 20 run. But sometimes you play a bad team and you play terribly. And they played pretty terribly, you know, for the majority of these three games. Now, Kennedy walked a bunch of guys. It seemed like he had one bad inning. Hamill really only had one bad inning. He walked more guys than I kind of would have figured, but he pitched well enough to win. Duffy pitched well, you know, just that one mistake. So at least there's that the starting pitching kind of kept it going. The Twins really worked the pitch counts. It really ended up to where, you know, Hamill was basically at a pitch limit after five innings and just couldn't go anymore. Kennedy threw a lot of pitches, like 35 in the second inning yesterday. Duffy was at 100 after six, and, you know, they're not going to push those guys too much. So, you know, the bullpen had to carry a lot of that weight, and it, you know, obviously didn't work out. Matt Strom got hit hard. Travis Wood was iffy. Mike Minor looked okay the first two times, got hit today. But, yeah, there are three guys in that bullpen who haven't given up a run, and they're Joaquim Soria, Peter Moylan, and Chris Young. So that's a little weird. Kelvin Herrera has not pitched yet, despite everybody pointing out that Greg Holland has three saves and Wade Davis has two saves. Neither of those guys would have been in position as a closer to pitch. Nope. So, you know, it's
they
not
would
like,
have as many as
it's as Herrera. Yeah. It'd be nice to have all three of them, but there were no save situations to protect. So, I mean, I guess maybe you hold team in the seventh, but then the Royals didn't score any runs the rest of the first game anyway. So, so yeah, it was a mess. The lone bright spot on offense so far has been Mike Moustakas, who has two homers right out of the gate. Hit one on Monday, and it was pretty good. I didn't see his homer today. Sounded like it went just down the line, so that's good to see. Lorenzo Cain has walked a few times. That's pretty good, too. That's kind of it. Eric Hosmer's hitting a bunch of ground balls again, so that's continuing. If you took the over, like Jeff did, on the ground ball percentage, which we talked about on our third annual over-under extravaganza,
mm-hmm.
Or for everybody who replied to our thread on Twitter on Sunday, if you took the over, you're probably in good shape. And maybe that's not fair to Hosmer because it is only three games, but hey, that's what he does.
He has done nothing in history of Eric Hosmer to make us think that it's a trend that won't continue.
Right. Right.
You know, if Hosmer's career ground ball rate was, you know, more like the league average of 45% and he happened to be at 60 through three games, we'd be like, ah, whatever, he's just bad luck. It's gonna even out. But you know, we don't there's no reason to think it would even out at this point.
Yeah. That's just what he does. And, you know, we have to live with it. So those are all the things that have happened in this series. And it's not a lot of good. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with facing the Twins. Twins, they always feel like they're way more patient. Even though I went back and I looked at the numbers the last couple of years and really they're not, they're not the team that the Royals walk the most, like as a rate, at least going by teams in the Central who have, I think, enough batters to kind of matter in that sense. So, you know, it seems like the Twins always seem to have those games where they just work walks. And even when they're a bad team, it's not the case, but it sure as heck was in this series. And you can't walk 23 guys in a three game series and expect to win. And you can't score one run in two of those games. And it was three runs today. You just can't do that. You're not going to win most of those games.
Yeah, I mean, whether you're as bad as the Twins or as good as anybody else, those are stats that aren't just – you just can't win games doing that. So,
yeah.
Again, it's just, and that's, you know, you talk about Mondesi, you know, booting the double play ball today, and then, you know, just some of the defensive lapses that we've kind of seen, just stuff we're not accustomed to, you know, from the Royals for the last few years. You know, there are things that this team, the organization as a whole, really has kind of hung their hat on, and, you know, bullpen management, being able to you know, rely on the defense to a certain degree. You know, if those things are gone, then, you know, where does that leave this team? Especially when you say, you know, they think they kind of went for a lot of power in the offseason to try and, you know, hopefully make up for some of the deficiencies where they maybe lacked comparatively. And, you know, the way too early to make any sort of a judgment returns on that power has been pretty low so far. I mean, Mike Moustakas has been the bright spot, as you mentioned. Excuse me, but he didn't, you know, he was just coming back from injury. You know, Brandon Moss has not looked good. Jorge Soler still hasn't played. So, you know, I mean, you talk about the power that they've tried to bring to the table, you know, a lot of it is, it hasn't really been seen. So, I mean, it's, and again, like super, super early, you know, it's three games, but, you know, you want to see some indications of something, and we just have seen no indications of anything besides Moose's possible power surge here. He's on pace.
Oh no.
Right now for let's see what we got here.
Two homers in three games.
105 home runs. 104 home runs.
That would probably get some attention.
I would think so. Yeah. I think that would finally vanquish the Balboni homer demon for sure.
Yeah.
But I do know one thing, regardless of how realistic 104 might be, which is to say not at all.
Right.
The Balboni homer demon is probably getting a little toasty down there in his hole beneath Kauffman Stadium. I'm just saying, you know, it's something to keep your eye on. Okay, I'm not making any sort of predictions, but actually, here's something. We'll talk about this. This will be a little bit less depressing.
Going to be a bonus prediction?
Not quite a bonus prediction, okay. But more of a question for you. Okay? Along the lines of some of our more outlandish questions, but not quite as outlandish. Okay?
Okay.
So, and I was talking about this with let's see who was Lesky and Ross PC Bearcat on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Right, kind of just a brief convo, but because I think was it you? I can't remember. Talk about Gary Gaetti.
I think I saw Gaetti come up, but I wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't.
Yeah, it was Lesky. So Lesky was saying that if not for the strike, Gary Gaetti probably would have hit around 37.
Yeah.
So, you know, sure, but the question that I posed is, you know, first part of it, would you rather Gary Gaetti or Steve Balboni hold the record? I don't know that really matters, but the point of the question of that being, you know, neither Gaetti nor Balboni was really a, you know, quote unquote Royals guy, you know, where if you look at like Danny Tartable, you know, he would be kind of a Royals guy. He was drafted by the Royals, you know, developed by them. Same deal with like a Bo Jackson, or you know, if it would have been Carlos Beltran, etc. However, so, you know, that's kind of the first part, but that's not the main focus. The main focus of the question that I wanted to bring up is, you know, in that example where if Gary Gaetti would have had 37 home runs, that he is the record holder. Let's say Moose breaks the record this year. Say he hits 37, 38 home runs, right? Obviously, it counts. He's the new record holder. Mm-hmm. But does it really feel all that great if the record gets broken but still remains below 40? Because then the Royals would still be the only team in history to never have a 40 home run hitter. So would you still feel as excited about vanquishing the Balboni homer demon if it meant it was still a Royals record below 40?
I probably would. I mean, I would have liked Gaetti to beat it then, and I think, you know, the
season, is it just like you would have been able to see it? Is that just what makes it better?
Part of it, and I think part just you know, psychologically, it's at least more recent. Like the Balboni was 85. I mean, that's forever ago, and that's a lifetime ago. In some people's
in my case, literally.
Yeah, I mean that is a long time. That's crazy. To never have a guy beat that and really only have a couple of guys approach that. Like Dean Palmer at 34 one year, and I think Dye hit, 33 in 2000?
33 was the number.
So, and Danny Tartable is the only guy who got who had two seasons of 30 homers or more, which is kind of – George Brett only had one 30-home-run season, and it was exactly 30. So, yeah, I mean, that would – I would at least kind of like to have it happen with a team that I was following, and I think a more recent team record is usually better, at least, because at least it happened. So, I don't know if that – it's still a little ridiculous that the record in that case would have been, if Gaetti – would have just gotten to like 37 or even 38, still under 40, which is crazy. But I don't know. I don't know if it's like super diminishing. I think at least, I don't know. I mean, 95 is still a long time ago too. So I guess the record, if it stood at 37 today from 95, it would still look a little absurd. So I don't know. I don't think I would worry too much about it. I think it'd be nice to have broken it with Gaetti. I think it'd be nice if Moose would break it this year. I guess I don't worry too much about it as long as it gets broken eventually. It's crazy that the Royals have gone through the steroid era. They've moved the fences in. They've lowered the fences. They've had seasons like last year where a bunch of people hit homers all the time, and they've still not surpassed 36. It's just crazy to me that that's still a standing record.
I remember talking about that with my dad when all the steroids, the fallout from the steroid era, everyone started getting nailed for it and getting penalties, and the books started coming out and the articles and naming people. And my dad and I were just like, no Royals are getting named in this. It's like,
Jason Grimsley.
Yeah, well, that's
they had
true.
A relief pitcher.
They did have Jason Grimsley. But ultimately, we're like, you know what? Don't we kind of want at least a Royal to be named in this? Like, the idea being, at the very least, you're looking at a team where a sport where you want everyone to try and find that competitive edge. Obviously you want them to do it legally, but you want people to be trying to scrape for that extra little inch if they can find it within the confines of the law. So I guess it's weird for me to say that and then say they should go outside the law, but or not the law, but the rules. I guess in steroids case, the law steroids.
Yeah, some right. laws. Yeah.
Right. So anyway, the point being, you almost like, does that mean nobody cared to win during that era? Nobody cared to, do better? Like, could you have – there have been some Royals that maybe got a little bit bigger of a contract if they would have just juiced up. And if you hit 35 at Kauffman, you're that's carry some weight, I think.
What if they were juiced?
That's even worse.
They're juiced and they're still getting Mike McFarland leading them. Well, that was probably before his time. Or probably that era was after his time. But still, you're only getting 20 homers from a guy and they're still using. Like, that would be sad. That'd be really sad.
Really sad.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see the record fall. What's probably going to happen is Moustakas will hit 25 homers in the first half. The Royals won't be good and he'll get traded before he gets a chance to break it. And then we'll be like, well, still nothing.
Yep. Then
I don't know if you'd count whatever he does for the new team or what. So
I guess that's a good send off.
Yeah.
If you were to be with the Royals the whole year and break the record, even if it's below 40, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's something, but
yeah, it would be nice to have it be someone like
that. I think what irks me the most when I looked this up, first time I looked this up, I can't remember, you know, years ago, and I was like, have the Royals really never had anybody hit 40? Well, I knew that, but like, have the Royals, has that, are they the only team to never have anybody hit 40? So I looked all the team records up, and finding that the second lowest team home run record total belonged to the New York Mets of 41, and that record belonged to Carlos Beltran. I think that was, you know, it's bad enough to be the only team without 40, but when that one team just close enough that just eclipsed the 40 home run mark happens to be the guy that you let go. I mean, Rose couldn't have afforded him, but still. I think that may be just a little salt in the wound, perhaps, if you will.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I think you've told me that fact before, which is it's still funny. It's painful.
Painful it is. Funny. You're right. As these three games have been. But to ease the pain, I think we've said all we really needed to say about those games. Let's just hopefully they can put it behind them, and you know, they're heading down to Houston, and
great.
Things will be better.
So the Royals always play well in Houston.
Yay!
They played well for like two innings in Houston in the last 5 years.
They were the most important two innings in their history.
They were. That's true.
It's good. However, I guess we can kind of have this be our final topic on a shorter show where it's just,
in an actual shorter show.
Actual shorter show.
Behind the scenes, usually we say, hey, it's going to be a short show, and that's when you get those hour and 40-minute shows that we dump on you to take up your whole afternoon.
If for some reason you make the effort to listen to the show but you wish it was shorter, then hope for bad Royals baseball.
Right, because then it's just like, I don't really want to talk that much about them.
Yeah, although the question would be, at some point, it goes past the skills, because it's easy to just kind of dismiss now, because like the Royals were probably like, put it behind us, let's hope for something better. And we know that we at least think that it can be achieved. But then eventually, at some point, if it's just bad, 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 then it will just turn into the same length of time, but just ranting instead of talking about possibilities of playoffs and such. So let's hope it doesn't reach that point.
It'll be like
but
old
I think
times.
That's, it'll be like 2011, 2012 all over again.
Right.
We don't want to go back to those days, folks.
Really don't.
So, but anyway, we talked about Moustakas, the bright spot, two home runs. But even the bright spot we kind of talked about at the top of the show, Danny Duffy. So, Duffy signed the contract in the offseason. Bury me a Royal, et cetera, et cetera. Ace of the staff, opening day starter. We talked about, I think, the week before the season, the outlandish things that could be true from Sports Illustrated, I believe I heard on the radio, one of which being Danny Duffy has better secondary stuff than David Price. So he could be that level of a pitcher if he gets it all going. Well, first game of the season, as we mentioned, the broad strokes. He had six innings pitched, only gave up three hits. One was a very long, very, very large home run.
Yep.
Miguel Sano, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because he likes to destroy the Royals. That happens.
He had a good
series. Going to be the next Maglio Ordóñez. I can feel it. I hated that guy so much.
You're probably right.
He just destroyed us, right? Like, I'm not making that up, right? Like,
I remember it, yeah.
I mean, just all the time. I hated him. Anyway, we talk enough about players I hate. We don't need to go into that. Damn you, Trevor Plouffe. Oh, I hate Trevor Plouffe.
I know.
He's hopefully just.
At least he wasn't in this series. He's on the.
Oh God! Oh A's? God! I would have killed. I would have gotten up if he would have just had like a. He would have come up on flipping opening day when they had the bases loaded, and he just would have jacked a home run or something, because
he'd have pointed through the TV right at you. He'd be like,
he would have.
That's for you, Jeff Herr.
The baseball gods hate me. That's what would have happened. So anyway, back to Duffy. We're talking bright spots here, not my hatred for Trevor Plouffe. bright spots. Duffy, six innings pitched, only go three hits, the one home run to Sano, but eight strikeouts.
Yeah.
And three walks. So really good performance from Daniel. Only gave up the one run, so it's a 1.5 ERA, 99 pitches, and six innings pitched. So a little bit more than you would like in that scenario. You know, to 99, you'd like him to have a little bit. If he was at like 90 after six, they would have sent him out there for seven.
Maybe, yeah, maybe give him one or two batters.
Maybe not earlier.
Without a base
this
runner.
Early in the season. But I think Duffy can hit that 110. I think he can be okay with that. You know, if it means going in that extra seventh inning or so, mm-hmm. or next, yeah, the extra inning, but. Anyway, I'm looking at the wrong thing. He had 100 pitches, not 99. Sorry. 100 pitches.
Huge difference.
Huge difference.
Huge difference.
Anyway, so that's that's probably the lone bright spot. You know, I thought the first few innings, first three specifically, before he gave up that home run, you know, I thought he looked dialed in.
He was toying sharp. With guys, yeah.
Yeah, he looked engaged. Everything looked on point. He wasn't, you know, if Duffy ever gets into any issues, it's always command related, you know, being able to battle those command issues. And that's what was so encouraging about last year when he was going well is his command didn't seem to be something that he was fighting. It was something that he was working with. So that's what it looked like. And, you know, he had a couple points where after those first three innings where it kind of looked like it was slipping away a little bit, but he was able to get it back under control and get dialed back in. And man, he looked impressive. You know, I mean, obviously you'd want more than six innings pitched, but if he gave you these types of six innings for 90% of his outings, you know, I mean, you're going to be okay with that.
Yeah,
and he's going to be okay. Pitchers in the American League if he does that. So, you know, I was impressed with how Duffy looked. You know, someone who's always been so mentally engaged and mentally gets kind of hyped up, you know, especially in really big spots. You always wonder how Duffy's going to do. And last year he showed a greater ability to control that than he had previously. And I think, you know, it's carried over to this year. Maybe it helps a little bit that it was on the road and not opening day at home.
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe that would have affected anything, but, you know, I think it's just another sign of his maturity and why he's, you know, it was good to sign him to that contract that he's now able to rein in those emotions and kind of channel them into, you know, pitching more under control. So I was really impressed with what I saw from him. I'm hoping he can continue it. You know, I mean, if he can do, you know, kind of replicate this performance, obviously it's not going to be this good every single time out, but you know, if he can get kind of close and, you know, maybe have, turn a few of these outings instead of going six innings, you know, maybe he goes seven, even if he gives up an extra run somewhere in there, you know, if you get that extra inning out of him, you can live with that. So, I mean, I'm excited. That is the one thing that is giving me some level of hope at this point. I don't know about hope for the team, but at least I hope for something fun to watch if it all goes south. It would at least be Danny Duffy looking like he's come to play, to borrow a former slogan. So I moved off topic story. I moved desks at work this week. Okay. And finally I've got an office. Finally. I'm so happy. I've actually got a shelf in my office to put all my nerdy things, including Royals memorabilia. One of the things I had is a cup, Royals cup, one of those plastic souvenir cups. You know, you can get soaked beer in or whatever. And I was that 2012 was our time. Was 2013 come to play?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Because so, then it was 2014 was B Royal, and then 2015, 2016 were both Forever Royal.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, that sounds right. So I had that cup, and I, you know, moved it from my old, and so I was looking at it and reminiscing. There was a Billy Butler photo on there, but so Come to Play is on that cup. So it's on my desk at work, but just thought that was funny. So anyway, Danny Duffy certainly came to play for the season opener, and I was pretty impressed. What were your thoughts?
I thought the changeup looked really, really good, and I think Leske wrote a piece on it on BP Kansas City about that changeup. He was challenging guys with a fastball, throwing it right by him. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see him be a little more pitch efficient. He did have the three walks. He had some runners on here and there, but I thought he pitched pretty well. It looked like last year he hit 110 pitches in three different starts, and that was his peak. So that's maybe as far as he can go, but if he's getting the command and the control going, that's probably something reachable, 110, 115. So, you know, if he's just a little bit better in his next couple starts, he can probably get into that seventh inning, and you'll see some of those special nights where he is able to go into the eighth and maybe even a little beyond pitching into the ninth if he's really got it going. So I think, you know, considering that we've seen where he's pitched well and then kind of fallen a little bit, you know, he's showing flashes and then reverts back, I don't really worry about that. He seems focused in. I think a full season of really being at that level has him, I think he'll probably be pretty comfortable. And I think his stuff and his mechanics are all, you know, the mechanics are simplified. The stuff is good. And I think he's got confidence. I think he'll be fine. You know, I think Kennedy will probably be okay too. And I think Hamill looked, from what I saw, he looked okay. He missed in a few spots, but you know, wasn't like he was getting hammered, and it wasn't like he was completely losing the zone. He was just a little bit off. So I think those three guys will be all right as a group. And I think Duffy in particular will stick out, and I think he'll, he'll continue to get better just like last year. So I was pretty impressed. I enjoyed watching him. It's too bad he couldn't keep going. It's too bad the Royals couldn't get him a win, but you know, he'll pitch on Saturday, and you know, that'll be another chance.
Yes, it will. So that's kind of all I got. Any other bright spots? I mean, I guess, do we want to talk about Mondesi? Do we want to talk about that this week? Do we want to wait? Do we want to give him another week, or do we want to talk about it now? Tell me now, Mike, do you want to discuss this?
I don't want to talk about Mondesi.
You know how
right
I feel. So, okay, we're not going to talk about
it. I don't want to talk about it right now.
I'll just say I have some opinions on Raul Mondesi, but specifically him more so than the others because he's the youngest player on the team. I'm going to hold off. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here, give him some time. First time he started with the big league club to start the season. He's starting, got to work out some jitters. We'll give him some time. So smart decision.
He's got a week.
You're on notice. Raul Mondesi, you've got a week to try and change my early opinion on you as a player. So I guess we'll leave it at that this week. Short show. Just hoping for something better to talk about than just depressing mid-2000s like Royals performances for three games. You
know, yeah.
I can do without those if at all possible.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they could somehow bounce back and win the Houston series. That would, I think, be a nice little boost to them and to the fan base going into the first homestand. I think that would be nice. If they lose it, well, I don't know, man. I don't know what to think from there. If they get swept or something, it's going to be a little scary. So we'll have to see how they play in Houston. They usually hit okay in Houston. It's just that Houston hits better. And I think they face Keuchel in one of those games. So that'll be something.
Although, if it's 2016 Keuchel, I don't know that I'm all that scared.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
So
That is fair. He's going to throw a no-hitter now.
That's true.
So
we've seen that before, haven't we? Not necessarily a no-hitter, but...
Keuchel dominating? Yeah.
Well, just the guy that you think the Royals can hit or we're going to have a good game against, and then he just comes out and Tommy Malone comes out of nowhere and throws a three-hitter or whatever the hell it was. God.
Well, shoot, that was the last two games against the Twins. So you figure they can hit Jose Santiago or Hector Santiago and Kyle Gibson, but
Nope. Never going to happen.
So I don't know.
Certainly not going to happen. Well, so yeah, we'll kind of put a pin in some of those things. Obviously, Raul Mondesi's on notice. We've already established that. So we'll talk about him next week after we have a little bit more data to look at. You know, hopefully Danny Duffy can have another solid performance. Hopefully, Ian Kennedy can give the home opener some good vibes for people that go out there next Monday. You know, I believe you'll be out there. Is that right, Mike?
I will. I will be out there.
I will not be, but good luck to you guys. I hope you get a little bit better weather. It's been rained for – I was started to build my arc, man. It rained for 2 weeks straight. And then
dreary and gross.
Started about when I left work last night. The sun came out, and it's out now. So hopefully that continues, and we get some good weather for that home opener. I'm going to check this thing here. High of 63, partly sunny here.
Yeah.
Or partly cloudy, I guess, depending on. Yeah. If it's the Royals, it's partly cloudy. But So it says mostly cloudy by noon. What time's the game on Monday? The opener?
Three.
So
I think.
So yeah, it'll be clear for some of the game, according to my weather app. We'll see how, you know, those things obviously subject to change.
Yeah.
Just as is my opinion on Raul Mondesi, but we'll see if that actually happens in both cases. Hopefully it will positively.
Hopefully there's a lot more bright spots a week from
indeed
now.
As the sun comes out, literally, hopefully it will come out metaphorically for the Royals. Nothing like a trip to Houston to really get that blood flowing.
Right. At least they got rid of the dang hill.
Yes, that's true. At least they you did that on purpose, didn't you? You did it on purpose. My biggest pet peeve in all of baseball.
Yeah.
All of sports, really. Baseball is different fields.
Yeah.
But that's beside the point. At least the most egregious representation of my issue, at least that has now been eradicated. No more hill. So, yes, you are correct. Let's be positive here. No more hill.
No stupid hill in Houston. Center field.
No stupid hill. So the odds of Lorenzo Cain getting injured, while still very apparent, whether he's walking out of his hotel room or chasing down a fly ball, it's at least a little bit less with that hill gone. So anyway, hopefully the Royals get things together in Houston. You know, Houston is a good team. They're expected to compete this year. It'll be a little bit good of a barometer. It's possible you could believe, if you squinted hard enough and really convinced yourself, that maybe the Royals just weren't taking the Twins seriously, and that's why they came out flat. And you know, maybe they'll be a little bit more amped up for Houston. We'll see. Hopefully they are. Hopefully we have something more positive to talk about next week. We'll have had the home opener by then as well. We'll have some more games. Hopefully they can get this thing back on track, and it'll just be a short speed bump to start the season. We will see. Mm-hmm. But until then, be sure, of course, to visit Baseball Prospectus. You talked about a couple articles by Leske. Clint Scholes put out a very good article about Royals prospects today. So be sure and read that. You know, if you're looking for something to divert your attention and aching for some possible things to look forward to in the future, Clint has you covered when it comes to Royals prospects. So be sure, Clint Scholes, of course, but be sure to go to bpkansascity.com. And check out that article. So with that, we'll leave you. Be sure to also visit Kelly's, our sponsor. Not just on opening day, always a good place to watch a Royals game. But until next week, we will see you then. But until then, thanks for stopping by. And as always, go Royals.
Thank you for listening to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. You can follow us on Twitter at KC Baseball Vault. You can also find us on Baseball Prospectus Kansas City at bpkansascity.com. You can follow BPKC on Twitter at bprokansascity. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, through Stitcher, or whatever podcast app you like. And if you have any questions, comments, or if you just want to say hi, send those emails to kansascitybaseballvault@gmail.com. And that was Sinfonia in A Major by Sam Martini. It's noted that the third vicar of Dunshire would play that every night before delivering sermons. It's a fine piece of music. It's 10 past the hour here on Vault Public Radio. We wanted to remind you, dear listener, that this week is Pledge Week at the Vault. Your support is vital, and giving to Vault Public Radio is one way to help support your community. And speaking of community, you won't find a better friendly community than the staff at Kelly's Westport Inn. Like public radio, Kelly's is a staple of the community, a standard, an icon, a Kansas City tradition. Fine patrons like yourself have been supporting Kelly's Westport Inn since 1947, when, I'd note, that Randall Kelly poured his first pint. Contribute to Vault Public Radio today, you can get an official VPR tote bag, or you could stop by Kelly's for an affordable pint, the best pizza in town, and a few games of Papa Shot. We're grateful for your support at VPR and for your support at Kelly's Westport Inn. Enjoy the tradition. And now, 4 hours of Best of the Baroque Period, followed by the Amstein Theaters and The Horse You Rode In On, hosted by Joseph Guevara Amherst.